Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Mustard.
Stop.
It's Kale and Company.
Oh,
little,
man.
Little spicy mustard on a Friday. As we get closer to the rematch, Trump and Biden. But coming up in a couple of minutes, don't forget about one man. He's still out there lurking. He's gaining access to more ballots. And he will be a swing state factor. That's coming up in just a little bit. Welcome back in, Kale and Company. 7:01 here on this Friday morning. Dawn's news coming up here in just a couple of moments. And also, wait until you hear what one man in Germany has gone through when it comes to the COVID-19 vaccine and all of the subsequent boosters. That's coming up in just a little bit. Cut sheet at 7:45. But, you know, with this show, I think what we do here at Kale and Company is obviously hit on all the big political issues, the big news stories of the day. You know, we try to mix in a little pop culture and entertainment from time to time. You know, occasionally a sports story when it crosses over into the political or social spectrum. But at the end of the day, we like to have fun here in Morning Drive. And as we continue our efforts to bring you more of just the non-traditional radio stuff, more of the video, more of the social media stuff, we had this big brainstorming session as to how we could take our listeners and go kind of beyond the show from 6 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. And as we kind of put all of our brains together, we started thinking of ideas like, if you might recall, one of the best late night segments in television history was Carpool Karaoke with James Corden. So we are very excited to let you know that we are rolling out a new feature, and you will probably see it three or four times a year, probably on a quarterly basis, and we call it Kale Pool Karaoke, and it's thanks to our friends at the Piazza Auto Group. As I told you, about 2 months ago, I went out and I test drove the Honda Pilot Trail Sport. And the reason I test drove that was because we filmed our debut episode in the Honda Pilot 2024 Trail Sport. So we'll be doing our own version of karaoke talk because, trust me, you don't want to hear me sing. And each episode, we will take a ride with a notable Philadelphian who has an interesting story or who brings a compelling story to our show. And we're going to have some laughs along the way. The first episode is dropping in a matter of moments on all social media. You'll be able to watch it. I took a big ride and we'll tell you who it was with in a moment. And we chatted for about 40, 45 minutes. And then we, you know, obviously edit it, tighten it up and give it to you in social media chunks. But each episode will be with a different person. It could be somebody in politics. It could be a newsmaker, an entertainer, an athlete. So just posted to the 1210 WPHT website and all of our social media properties is our premiere episode of Kale Pool Karaoke with our first guest, the Honorable Patrick J. Murphy, who is a Philly war hero. He was the first post-Iraq war member of Congress to be elected to office after serving just over 20 years ago. He has such an amazing story. It was really a good time chatting with him. And this guy is another guy from Philadelphia, Northeast Philly kid, grew up in a row home, 4-for-4 Philly sports fan. And I thought it was interesting because he told me that he is more of a conservative Democrat, which I've never really heard it framed that way. And we had a great conversation talking about all sorts of things, most notably his time in service, obviously his time in office. And I'm looking forward to doing more of this. I drove around the Piazza Honda location for about 40 minutes to the point where the conversation was so good, I didn't know where the hell I was. I needed to like pull out a GPS. I'm like, Patrick, how do we get back to the dealership? We've been talking here for 45 minutes. So it was really cool. And I believe it's now up on whether it's Twitter, Instagram, or whatever platform you like to consume some of our social media content. So figured we would pass that along. And also, coming up in just a matter of, by my math, 14 days, the Travis Mannion Foundation The 7th annual 1210 WPHT Radiothon benefiting the Travis Mannion Foundation will be coming up on March 22nd, and Patrick will be attending and serving as a guest. So I'm sure he'll pop on the air, and he's got some incredible stories. Another one of these guys who goes to the military, then he's in a political office. He's got all sorts of high-level education. I really thought like I was talking to like Vivek Ramaswamy for a moment. I'm like, and he's only a couple of years older than I am. I'm like, how did you achieve all this in such a short period of time? So check it out. It's up on social media. And of course, thanks to our great friends of the Piazza Auto Group. So they were very courteous to hook us up with a vehicle and let us rack up miles on it as we chopped it up and talked shop for a little bit. So I think you guys will like it if you are a former military person yourself, a veteran. I think you will certainly respect his service to our country just over 20 years ago in Iraq. So it's up there, and I'm assuming it's up, correct?
Yes.
Not missing anything?
Yes. Okay. So we're not going to play it now?
I don't know. I think it's, I don't know how long it is. I know we condensed it. It's probably too long.
It's social media only.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't think it's, I think it's probably longer than like a cut. So although we had to trim, I think we had to trim a lot down because Patrick can talk.
Yeah, it's about 8 minutes.
Yeah, so 8 minutes.
Go over to YouTube, or not YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, it's all there.
There you go. All right, let's get to the news. Round number two, 7:07, the great Dawn Stensel.
Good morning. On this Friday morning, March 8th, we're headed in for a warm and sunny day, 40 degrees and cloudy as the sun has risen this morning. And we are sponsored this morning in Kale & Company News Live by First Harvest Credit. So in the news this morning, updating you on a major developing story in Philadelphia as Philadelphia police continue to search for those three gunmen who opened fire, shooting 8 Philadelphia school children who were waiting at a bus stop, their school bus stop, which is also a SEPTA bus stop in the Northeast, in Northeast Philadelphia, as well as the getaway driver who drove the shooters to and from the scene, learning more about that and many more news conferences that we saw yesterday and last night. So in all, police say that 7 teenage boys and 1 teenage girl were shot. 2 of the victims are 15-year-olds. 5 of the victims, including the teen girl, are 16 years old, and 1 victim is a 17-year-old. One of these 16-year-old boys, who is apparently the intended target here, was shot 9 times in the torso and is in extremely critical condition this morning, fighting for his life. That's according to the latest that we have here. So it looks like one individual was the intended target, but all they knew when these kids were just coming out of school right at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and didn't care that other kids were also in that crowd. That's the latest that I have from police sources as they try to find these shooters, armed, dangerous individuals. And they've dismissed students from learning in person there at Northeast High School, I should say. So they're Zoom learning for the rest of the week. However, they are offering school counselors, whether the children or kids and their parents, because you can imagine the trauma with something like this happening in your community. So they're saying if you want to come to the school for counseling or have a viral or Zoom kind of counseling session, they're offering all of that, just trying to cope with this horrific situation in the community that continues to make not just national news, international news, as that video has gone viral, as well as the viral videos of many of the community members, people in nearby shops and restaurants. That's a busy area. If you know the area, it's tragically the area that I think of where we would have an Eagles celebration or a major sports celebration. If you think about it,
yeah,
that's mostly in the news. That's when we think about that very intersection. Usually it's celebrations. Oh, you know, Eagles just clinched or our Phillies just clinched. Everybody's celebrating. And so to have that area, sort of one of our Times Square type areas, just marred by this violence against children, 11 children in all in Philadelphia shot this week. Mm-hmm. It's really unthinkable.
It's tragic.
It is, Nick. It's a, it's a, it's a new level that we've reached, mm-hmm. and I think we have to mark that this week, what happened here.
I agree.
And we talked yesterday about the fact, and this week, that the National Guard is seen in New York City protecting their transit. We're not going to do that in Philadelphia. That's the latest from the mayor, Mayor Sherelle Parker, who was at the State of the Union speech last night. So they're ramping up efforts, and that's the focus of the all of the news conferences that you saw yesterday mm-hmm. with SEPTA, Philadelphia Police. So they're describing the gunman. They're putting out their pictures and asking the public, come forward. Please, somebody knows who these individuals are. We need to take them off the streets.
Indeed.
So that's what we have here. And if you see the police presence, they have beefed up the police presence, and they say they're getting more aggressive on SEPTA as well as around schools. And so that's the plan right now as they lay out that plan. We're also learning more about this couple at the center of the controversial traffic stop involving a Philadelphia city leader speaking out for the first time. They are demanding a public apology from Pennsylvania State Police, as well as in particular that Pennsylvania State Trooper who pulled them over. And they've described their experience as traumatic, and they had their lawyer along. They've hired a lawyer. I don't know how quickly they hired the lawyer after Saturday's incident on the Vine Street Expressway, but they are filing a... I don't believe they filed it just yet. They announced that they're planning to file
a
civil suit.
Yeah, I was thinking about this. I'm wondering if they will have different attorneys for the civil suit versus a potential criminal suit. And you know who the first guy that popped up into my mind was? Ben Crump. The guy that's always showing up for all these types of cases of, you know, police misconduct. I believe Ben Crump was the George Floyd attorney. He's like the modern day Johnny Cochran race hustling attorney, you know, always coming to the aid of the victims. It wouldn't surprise me if that guy might be, I don't know if it's him or not, but I'd be willing to bet he probably either reached out about it or they reached out to him about it.
Well, it's a point well taken because they're speaking out, and we're talking, of course, about Selena Morrison McLean, who is an individual named as Philadelphia's top LGBTQ official and first high-level trans official. That's how that's worded, as well as McLean's husband, who's identified as Darius McLean, and the media reporting that they're recounting their harrowing experience during that, and I'm quoting, violent traffic stop. Now, by all accounts, this was captured on dash cam video. Pennsylvania State Police, as a result of this, there was the announcement that, in fact, they will all have the body cams within weeks. So they, unfortunately, are among the last group of law enforcement, and it's unfortunate. The more law enforcement, and we've all talked to them, they've been, you know, DMing us, texting us, and calling in and saying that they've been begging for these because the vast majority of law enforcement want the body cam.
Oh, yeah.
It exonerates them.
Correct.
Pretty much every time.
Yes. Is it just a budgetary issue? Is it too much money to give every officer one of these cameras?
It's expensive.
Yeah. That's what I was figuring.
And so it's interesting that initially it was said, oh, we need the body cams to show the racism and show what's happening out there. And then we saw a lull, did we not, mm-hmm. in rolling out the body cams, because I think people started realizing, oh, the body cam shows something different than the narrative of the media.
Exactly right. And well said.
So the only video we've seen is the part that was, it was already, the situation was in play. The situation had already escalated. And then we saw the 90-second cell phone video that Morrison McLean, who's the official, had shared on social media. And in that, raising questions about the episode and unrest. The McLeans are not claiming that this is an anti-LGBTQ plus or anti-trans or anti-gay situation.
Okay.
They're claiming that it was racist.
Right. Well, they have their options.
Yeah, I was just gonna
say, do we want to play the LGBTQ card or the race card?
The smorgasbord of what you can choose from.
Yes.
What can we, what group can we claim they're against tonight?
Yes.
would you like a Cabernet with that racism?
Which one actually sells more in 2024?
And to thicken the plot, as we've talked about, McLean, chief operating officer of that Philadelphia-based William Way Community Center, which made national news and went viral as we learned that that very community center is a real darling of Democrats as well as a darling of Senators Casey and Fetterman, who we learned through Libs of TikTok had slipped in a cool $1 million to that community center to bolster that community center. Believe it or not, McLean is the chief operating officer of that very center, which, by the way, then Casey, once it went out that they were giving all this, you know, tons of money to this one center, and it really hit at the hearts of the Black community in Philadelphia, because quite frankly, the children's community centers, as you know, many of them crumbling in disrepair, plumbing problems, etc. And so they paused that. They actually put a pause on that. They pulled the earmark. Fetterman's staff, and here's what's interesting, U.S. Senator John Fetterman originally put out a tweet, oh, had no idea pulling that. Then Fetterman put out, oh, I had no idea. I don't know who put that out there. I didn't say that.
I saw that.
He doubled down, which makes you wonder, well, then who's running the social media and who's running things? Mm-hmm. But you can see how when you look at this, the fact that this is the director of the, you know, of the center that got $1 million, this situation, and that's why we all knew this when we reported it. I just want to point out to you, we all knew this. And that's why when we first reported this here on Kale and Company, we were saying that this unfortunate trooper struck the worst lottery of the trifecta, mm-hmm. the worst luck ever yep. on this traffic stop.
I wholeheartedly
right?
agree.
That's what Nick, Greg, and I were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Now you know what we were talking. A lot of times we know the information, it's on background, but we can reveal all of this morning.
Right.
And so the trooper remains off the streets. Some of it's standard operating procedure, but we're following it.
Okay.
Just enough said. We'll talk about the Biden, obviously, so to last night. That's what we call the State of the Union address. So to Biden last night, a lot on that. Although all of the media, a fiery speech, glowing A+ reports as we grade the actual speech. And then, of course, Katie Britt from her kitchen giving the Republican rebuttal. And that's something that we see every time. So we want to talk about that. Another story I wanted to bring to your attention, I will just say, a Texas mother under arrest. This is making national headlines. She admits that she concocted a plan to get back at a bully at her son's school. And it backfired big time. So her 11-year-old son, and this is 45-year-old Jennifer Rossi, she's actually a nurse. Her son came home every day, she says, and was being bullied at school. These are fifth-grade little kids. Her son was being bullied. One of the ways he was being bullied is that his school lunch taken from him, and in particular, his sports drink would be taken from his Gatorade mm-hmm. that he loves to have.
Yep.
It was taken from him. So mom says to her son, okay, I'm going to put a little, she put a little vinegar, a little salt, little lemon juice squeezed into the Gatorade.
And the bully had an allergic reaction and died.
No, didn't. No. God forbid.
Okay.
But she just thought that the kid would spit it out and it would be like a prank.
Yeah.
That her son would have a way of getting back.
Right.
Well, mom's under arrest because the kid swallowed. The bully didn't spit it out. He swallowed it and it's vinegar.
Okay.
And then said, just went to the school nurse. They made, a big deal of this.
Oh,
and
God.
So now mom's under arrest facing child endangerment charges.
Should have given the bully the chicken patty.
All right. We're way over, guys.
Oh, we are. Sorry. Harvest. I need to get to First Harvest Credit Union. I'm sorry. Build stronger financial roots. First Harvest Credit Union. Open a gross savings account. Earn as high as 3.5% annual percentage yield while having flexible access to funds. Visit firstharvestcu.com for details. Membership restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA. Bright, sunny, 58 degrees. Friday, Kale and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Cut sheet coming up in about 25 minutes. We'll still get to the TikTok ban pushback from teenagers, and also the most alarming COVID story I think I have ever read in the history of COVID over the last 4+ years. That's coming up next, but right now, a good word from our friends at the Piazza Auto Group, proud sponsor of Kale Pool Karaoke, which we just debuted for you about 15 minutes ago on social media. And I had the opportunity for that episode that you might have watched on social to drive the 2024 Honda Pilot Trail Sport, which features a 7-mode drive system, Trail Watch multi-camera view, so you got safety, security from every angle. You could actually interview somebody for 45 minutes and you're good. You can still drive because you have all the safety and security you could ever possibly imagine. Also comes with wireless Apple CarPlay. And for the families out there, third row seating is a great luxury to have. Also very good with off-road capabilities, gorgeous moonroof, and you can check out any of their models of the 2024 Pilot, including the Trail Sport, and one of their 5 Piazza Honda locations: Philadelphia, Pottstown, Reading, Springfield, and Langhorne. Or shop online, check out all their inventory, PiazzaAutoGroup.com.
Get buckets with your first bet on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. It's America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers can get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 if your bet wins. You can bet on all your favorite NBA players and teams with quick bets, live same game parlays, exclusive props, and so much more. I love the FanDuel app. Just go to FanDuel.com/Greg. 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 Sign up right now. What are you waiting for? Shoot your shot right now with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of 1210 WPHD and the NBA. 21 and over, present in PA. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Just over 15 minutes out from what's on the cut sheet, and we've got all sorts of good gems lined up. We'll get to that at 7:45 this morning. But the most amazing story I have ever read in the history of the COVID-19 pandemic. Rochelle Walensky, queen of the COVID shot. Hold this German man's beer. For all of you, this is amazing. For all of you COVID shot maniacs out there that just got booster number 9. Oh, and oh, by the way, booster number 10 is available this fall. So if you want 10 total shots in 4.5 years, you'll be able to get number 10 this fall. But this individual is on his 217th COVID-19 vaccine shot and or booster. I kid you not. This is a true story. There is a man, a European man. He is a German man specifically, who, according to reports, has received 217 COVID-19 vaccine shots, and scientists are now studying him to see what in the world is going on inside of his body. According to a report by researchers released in the latest edition of the Lancet Infectious Disease Medical Journal, they found that this German man, who claims he has had 217 COVID-19 shots, according to their official scientific research and evidence, they have only discovered 134 different COVID injections for this man over a 9-month study. This is the I don't know how the guy hasn't died. This is remarkable. Data shows that this man multiple times received a shot every day for a 2-week period of time, rotating which arm would be jabbed. By the way, this story is on outkick.com if you want to see it. I tweeted out the link to it just about 2 minutes ago on my Twitter feed. In the end, the man claims that he has received 217 shots over a 29-month period. So he's just about 7 months shy of 3 years worth of consistent COVID-19 jabs. Remarkably, this guy still has not had COVID-19, although, give it time, it's guaranteed to happen. Scientists say that despite the man having a ton of antibodies, they highly recommend not hitting up your local CVS and ripping 100-plus vaccines. Outkick, and this writer goes on to say, rightfully so, considering the CDC has now admitted that they lied when they said people who were vaccinated wouldn't get COVID. I have never heard of something as outrageous as this. To be honest, I don't know, and like everybody runs in different circles. We all have different friends, different family members, different age groups, comorbidities, other issues that, you know, could require some people, certainly the elderly population, if you've got diabetes or cancer. Obviously, I think that's where the shot is the most effective. But I don't know about you guys, and I'm talking to Dawn, Greg, and this entire audience. I don't know a single soul in my life that has had more than 3 COVID shots. I think they just had the 9th booster available within the last handful of weeks. Forgive me for not keeping up on it. I've been out of the booster game for 3 years now. But the 10th shot is coming up this fall, which, beyond this whole study with this German guy, what does that say about the COVID-19 shot, where we are going to be 4.5 years into the acknowledgement of a new virus circulating throughout the population, throughout communities, and some people feel the need to get a 9th and or a 10th shot? Like, think about that. I don't know that I've ever taken anything consistently in that regards, other than over-the-counter supplements. There was times where I took turmeric, I took magnesium, I took fish oil pills, you know, stuff like that, right? The stuff that you see in the vitamin aisle. But 10 shots in 4.5 years? We talk about all the atrocities that were committed throughout the pandemic, from lockdowns to shutting down businesses to forcing people to get vaccinated or be fired. But what does it say about Pfizer and Moderna that you have to keep rolling out an updated shot for something that most of us, if and when we contract it, it'll feel like the cold, the flu, or for a lot of us, and let's be honest, we really don't know unless we take the antibodies test. There's a good chance that a lot of us have had it multiple times and we're just completely asymptomatic. But like, if you need to get 10 shots, or you feel the if you have the desire to get a 10th shot, what does it say about that shot? It's not a vaccine. In fact, I don't even know what you would classify it as. And I'm not trying to sit here and say, like, I'm the most knowledgeable person on this specific subject. But if somebody was telling me or advising me, hey, it might be worth getting your latest shot, and I say, well, what shot? And they say, well, we just Pfizer's rolling out the 10th booster the week before Halloween. I would be like, wait a minute, hold on. 4 years, 48 months. So in 48 months, I'm going to get 10 shots? No, thanks. Whatever you're selling me, obviously, is not that important, doesn't work to the level that you claim it does. But I'm blown away by this. I read this entire report. I think in the OutKick story, you can click on the hyperlink in the story, which will take you to the Infectious Diseases Medical Journal from Lancet. And I don't know if this guy was compensated for this, if this was like a scientific experiment, but there's no way on God's green earth I'm ever getting, I'm not getting 10 shots, much less 134.
It looks like this German man from all accounts, and I know it's in the New York Times, and everybody's picked up the story, BBC, and it was originally obviously over in Europe, but I think that he had it, then it started getting in the local newspapers, then it started making, you know, it went viral. So then the researchers from the University of Erlangen, Nuremberg, yeah, they called him and said, hey, would you come in, give some saliva and blood? It looks like that's how it happened. That once the guy started saying for personal reasons, he had it 217. And so then the researchers started just saying, oh, we're curious about this, let's study. But so that's kind of a fascinating thing. I would love if they looked into this even more.
Yeah, and we talked about all these stories of people that, you know, the younger generation out there that got the shot and ended up with myocarditis and having heart issues. I mean, I would love to know if this guy has any sort of inflammation of the heart muscle, like, you know, the whole myocarditis concept, that what other side of, like, what is going on in this guy's body to have that much injection on?
Who, what are the doctors that are giving him these shots?
I was going to wonder, how's that legal?
Because there's a glut of these COVID vaccines, especially in Europe. So I think that what they're saying is he didn't, he could go into a local, whatever, your local CVS or whatever their version is.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't, it wouldn't necessarily, if it's your doctor's office, because they recommend against this.
So did the Europeans kind of reject the concept of the COVID vaccine and the booster compared to Americans?
I don't know. I don't think so. I just think that everybody, after you're vaccinated or you've had it, I think worldwide, people are like, nah, I'm good. I've already had, you know, even if they had one booster or whatever.
Because to my knowledge, most Americans have rejected the latest boosters in overwhelming numbers, like well over 85% of Americans, especially with children. I think a lot of, and again, I don't tell people how to parent, but I think a lot of parents have come out and said, no, my children are not getting, you know, the latest booster. They might have had the first and second shot, and that's it, if anything. Because for a while, they were the last, I think it was, they were the last age group that it was rolled out to,
for emergency approval.
Right. We started with senior citizens and worked our way down to, you know, people in their 40s and 30s and 20s and then teenagers, right? Yeah.
So. As far as the myocarditis, and that's still, it's rare, except when you look in that age group of young males.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we had callers at the time, people reacting from it, and we now know that there is that slight risk for especially teenage or maybe young males in their, you know, early 20s, early to mid-20s. And so I think that's another thing that did come out that people didn't know about.
Yep. 855-839-1210 if you would like to jump in. The cut sheet is coming up in just about 7 minutes. We won't have time for the TikTok ban update from teenagers, but we'll get to that on the other side of the cut sheet this morning, because the Utes, Gen Z, they finally found something they are fired up about. How dare you take away TikTok? I want to scroll and swipe endlessly until my brain turns to mush. We'll get to that after the cut sheet this morning. But on the other side, it's a Friday edition, fresh off the State of the Union address. All sorts of reactions coming in, and we'll delve into what's on the cut sheet with Greg Stocker coming up next here on Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Nick Dawn and Greg as we head till 10 o'clock this morning. Still ahead, we'll get to our TikTok story update. Also, a California Democrat who came in third in a primary race this week is saying it was rigged.
Uh-oh.
We have a rigged job. We'll get to that story. And wait till you hear what happened in Houston.
You said rigged job, right?
That's correct.
Just making sure. Don, I was just making sure. I didn't know what he was talking about there. Rigged job. Rigged. Gotcha.
Big rig.
Big rig. Yeah. Big rig.
Big rig.
Also, wait till you hear what happened in Harris County, Texas, in the Houston area, as a district attorney went to vote on primary day, Super Tuesday in the state of Texas, and they told her, I'm sorry, somebody already voted in your name, on your behalf. We're going to get to that story. A lot of election shenanigans going on for Democrats. We'll get to that. But when a Republican brings it up, it's just this craziness. All right, 7:46. Let's get right to it. It's time for a Friday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Sheet on this Friday is sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo, where right now you can lease an XC40 for $459 or an XC90 for $629 per month. And interest rates as low as 4%. Hurry in to Cherry Hill Volvo for details today. Check them out over at 70 in Cherry Hill. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. Thank you, Judith and Yosef, for sponsoring the ever-important Friday edition, the post-State of the Union edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. Okay, let's get right into it here. Last night, Joe Biden's campaign speech that he gave.
Not the SOTU.
He started off with talking about freedom and democracy and Putin and Russia and his predecessor.
Yeah, what'd you make of that, using the word predecessor constantly?
I've never heard, and you know, Dawn, maybe you can correct me here, I've never heard a State of the Union where the sitting president has addressed the former president more times than I've never heard any. Am I wrong?
He's obsessed with him.
Yeah, that many times, because what
18.
Yeah, well, because basically abortion, and yep. I'm not Trump.
Yep.
I mean, that's his whole platform.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The accomplishments are few and far between. Mm-hmm. So you have to. I mean, it was a really dark speech.
It's dark.
It was like it started off really dark. Yep. Like, you think Putin's going to stop with Ukraine? It's like, oh my God, what are we getting into World War III here? What's happening?
And by the way, I think there's a big difference between a fiery speech and an angry speech. That was an angry speech.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Let's play some of this, and I'll let you two react to it. This is cut 8. Phil, go.
Not since President Lincoln and the Civil War have freedom and democracy been under assault at home as they are today. What makes our moment rare is that freedom and democracy are under attack at both at home and overseas at the very same time. Overseas, Putin of Russia is on the march, invading Ukraine and sowing chaos throughout Europe and beyond. If anybody in this room thinks Putin will stop at Ukraine, I assure you he will not.
Oh, boy.
Ooh.
Sleep well, kiddies.
Yeah.
But Ukraine can stop Putin. Ukraine can stop Putin if we stand with Ukraine and provide the weapons that needs to defend itself.
Interesting. Even Mike Johnson is nodding his head in that one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That is all. That is all Ukraine is asking. They're not asking for American soldiers. In fact, there are no American soldiers at war in Ukraine, and I'm determined to keep it that way. But now, assistance to Ukraine is being blocked by those who want to walk away from our world leadership. It wasn't long ago when a Republican president named Ronald Reagan thundered, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." Now my predecessor, a former Republican president, tells Putin, quote, "Do whatever the hell you want." That's a quote. A former president actually said that, bowing down to a Russian leader. I think it's outrageous, it's dangerous, and it's unacceptable.
Johnson nodding his head there. He didn't clap there, but he nodded his head slightly in agreement there. Dawn, you were going to say something there about...
No, I mean, that's not... He took... Nobody thinks that Trump ever said, Putin, do what you... Hey, Pootie, do what you want. It just is stupid.
Yeah.
He's taking words that he may have said out of context.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, anybody who knows what Trump said, that was out of context and ridiculous. And the fact that he's not being called out on that is just silly.
Yeah. I would also say the jury is still out on Mike Johnson. Seems like some people kind of like him a little bit. Other people are very skeptical of him.
He's so dull.
I know.
He's
definitely dull. I'm talking about the substance, though, and you know what what he stands for, what he'll fight for. And
I'm talking superficial, sorry.
You know, that's fine. Speaking of superficial, although I would argue this is probably not superficial, Joe Biden, once again, you know, he's very animated. He gets very combative. He likes to shout. To me, he reminds me of the sports talk or news talk radio host who only has one gear and just barks incessantly. There's and people will say, well, no, Joe has an endearing side to him. You very rarely see it, and when you do, it kind of comes off a little bit creepy at this point in his life. Although there must be some schmoozing and endearing quality to him, because you don't last as long as he has in politics if you don't know how to play the game.
I'm gonna say something, and all the tweets and the text messages and the YouTube chats are going to be like, I can't believe you're saying this, but get over it because I'm going to say it. Joe Biden is very good at politics.
Mm-hmm.
He is. He's probably one of the best I've ever seen. And last night proved that. Not because I liked the speech or agreed with the speech. I'm just saying that he can turn it on. He can do politics when he wants to do it. He's very good at that.
I mean, I don't
let the hate start.
No, yeah, I was waiting for it to come in. No, I don't disagree with that, and you can certainly disagree with the message, which I do, and obviously more importantly than anything, because I'm like I said in the big take yesterday, I'm past lip service. You know, State of the Union speech number 4. You know, you get one honeymoon period in your first speech because people are, you know, it's the fresh thing, it's the new thing. Let's see where the nation goes, and you know what direction this country is headed in under, you know, President X's leadership, but. By the fourth time around, and a lot of people were tweeting this last night. This was almost, I don't want to say verbatim, but very similar to his 2023 and 2022 speeches. It was almost a copy and paste job with the same cliches, the same rhetoric, and I think, I could be wrong on this, almost the same order. He is led with, I believe, Russia-Ukraine for... Two straight, if not three.
He definitely did it in 2022. That's a very good pull by you because he definitely did it in 2022.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't remember last year's because, quite frankly, these exercises, like the pomp and circumstance of it all, it's so dumb.
Oh, I know.
It's so dumb. I don't care if it's a Republican or Democrat.
Walking down the aisle last night.
It's just like, ladies and gentlemen, the president. Yeah. I was like, oh, God.
I'm going to disagree.
No, stop.
I'm going to disagree. That's what they've done. For, you know, hundreds of years. This is the
tradition.
Protocol. It's the tradition.
So you like it all.
I do. I don't mind. I don't mind any of that because it's something that they've kept as a tradition. I don't mind it.
I just, you know, the nonstop shaking of the hands. And I think what bothers most just average Americans that watch it is, especially for the people that believe politics is nothing more than a scrimmage where they butt heads, and at the end of the day, they're all buddies off the air.
Well, you saw it last night as everybody was waiting.
Like,
we've
never had a more divided political spectrum than we do right now. And yet you saw Republicans and Democrats,
it's all a sham, guys.
Yeah.
It's all a sham.
But it's their tradition.
They keep us fighting, they get rich.
Yes.
I'm telling you.
Well, of course.
All politicians are whores. All politicians are whores. Mike Carr.
I'm a capitalist and a corporate whore.
Mike Carr on the YouTube chat says, I don't disagree with Greg, but being good at politics is a disgusting trait. I agree. Oh. I'm the one who says all the time, politics sucks.
There's a difference between being good at politics and having good policies. Policies
exactly.
That work.
Exactly.
Right.
I said Joe Biden is good at politics.
Right. He knows
I didn't say anything else.
He knows how to play.
Because he's been doing it for 60 years.
Right.
He's a swamp creature. He's been there forever.
And so the issue, though, is that most Americans, I mean, we don't have the ratings yet, I don't think, but the issue is most Americans, especially because the thing didn't even start on time, so I would prefer that they start the walk down the aisle. They should have scheduled it for Joe, be there by 8:20.
Mm-hmm.
That way he would have been there by 8:40.
Yeah. Nothing starts on time anymore.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Back time it for him?
Nah, it's painful.
But yes, let's get back to what you were talking about, Nick Hale, about how... Waiting for the speech last night, and you saw everybody, like, it was like a cocktail hour.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It was like a cocktail hour of everybody, Democrats, Republicans, everybody, Joe Manchin and Mitt Romney sitting together. Everybody, like,
it was like watching a wedding reception.
It's all a show.
Right.
It's all a scam. They keep us fighting. They keep us at each other's throats. Mm-hmm. And they're sitting there getting fat and rich. Single one of them.
While we get played.
Thank you.
Now, that is true, but think about it. If everybody in the national and media said exactly what Greg Stocker said,
mm-hmm.
and right, if everybody, if on ABC, say Good Morning America, social media, if everybody was saying what Greg Stocker just said, then would that make a difference? I think it would, which is why the media this morning saying, oh, he was feisty, what a fiery speech, calling out and a threat to democracy and blah, blah, blah. The media does matter.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. And I'm watching that last night, and that's why I said I used the analogy of a wedding reception. You have all the other couples that are there, all the in-laws, all the cousins and relatives and friends and best men and best women, and they're all hobnobbing and exchanging pleasantries, and we're all just waiting for the bride and groom to come down so we can go through the whole pomp and circumstance and go through the charade, and then we can move on with the rest of our lives, right?
I was sitting there, literally, I wanted to flip through every channel because I'm just... curious what everybody was, and everybody was like, okay, so-and-so is wearing this, and oh, look, so-and-so's talking to so-and-so. I never thought, and these people never see each other, and oh, it's great. I'm just like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like, these are the people that are passing these bills. Like, this person is going to be the death of our society and democracy, and they're yucking it up.
Well, and that's a painful broadcast to sit through as a broadcaster, because you're just sitting there trying to fill time. Now, I did not flip around. I watched Fox. And like Jesse Waters had like five or six different people coming on every like 30 seconds as guests. And he was asking like basically the same question to all of his. You could tell he was just trying to fill time so that they could get to the official tossing of the State of the Union and let the rest of the broadcast kind of breathe and, you know, take it away himself. Like, I would not want to be. Those are the worst things to try to sit through as a broad. I mean, Dawn, I don't know how you do, and I know you guys plan everything, but like when you do the Mummers Parade, there's a lot of time that you have to fill, and that's a very tough task.
But that's we prepare for it, and all of that is prepared for.
Yeah.
So I thought Martha and, you know, Britt Baier, they handled it well. They prepped for it. You just do, and that's why, like, you know, when we had our like 10 days off between Chris, that's what I was doing. Like, we're prepping and researching, not to compare the Mummers. The Mummers Parade is way better than the SOTU. Let's just put that out there.
Well, and Dawn, and Dawn talks 6 hours a day extemporaneously. Like, she's prepared for this. You could fill time for the with the best of them.
Yeah. Which is why these guys have to, like, Greg is, if you ever see him on YouTube, Greg is like this with me, and then I'm like, all right, I'll just
wrap it up.
And he's not being rude. It's just like he just turns me on and turns me off, you know?
Oh, yeah, baby. Yeah.
Oh, well, no,
that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Our 10-year anniversary coming up soon. I'm just kidding.
Dawn, you better keep your mouth closed.
All right, let's get back to the cuts here. So he started off the 20 minutes, the first 20 minutes of any State of the Union speech are the most important. That sets the tone for everything, because quite frankly, nobody sat through that entire thing last night. Everybody watched the first couple minutes and then moved on.
Did you guys? I admit I fell asleep a couple times.
Oh, I was.
I turned it off at 10:04, I think.
I listened to it on the way in this morning, so that's what I did.
Yeah, I had to re-listen to it too because I just kept dozing off.
Yeah. So he of course mentioned he started off with democracy, freedom, Russia, Ukraine, and what does he move on to next? January 6th. This is cut 9. Phil, go.
We will not bow down. I will not bow down. In a literal sense, history is watching. History is watching. Just like history watched 3 years ago on January 6th. When insurrectionists stormed this very Capitol and placed a dagger to the throat of American democracy.
No daggers, no guns.
On that darkest of days, we all saw with our own eyes the insurrectionists were not patriots. They'd come to stop the peaceful transfer of power, to overturn the will of the people. January 6th lies about the 2020 election and the plots to steal the election posed a great, gravest threat to U.S. democracy since the Civil War.
He's losing steam.
But they failed. Stood.
Kamala stood. And clapped. Not a joke. Don't
America
jump.
America stood strong and democracy prevailed. We must be honest. The threat to democracy must be defended. My predecessor and some of you here seek to bury the truth about January 6th. I will not do that. This is the moment to speak the truth and to bury the lies. Here's the simple truth. You can't love your country only when you win.
Or you could certainly have questions when you lose as to how it happened. Although, I'm tired of people being labeled insurrectionists when nobody has been charged with insurrection.
Nobody's been convicted.
Yes.
And there were no daggers, no guns, no weapons.
Yes.
And by the way, all those people, many of them who went to J6, the vast majority, hundreds of thousands who went home peacefully.
Yeah.
They are certainly Second Amendment rights people who certainly could have brought their firearms. They chose not to.
Mm-hmm.
There's no evidence to my knowledge. I'm serious here. When he says held the dagger, to my knowledge, and I'll look through the court records, To my knowledge, there is zero evidence that anybody had any weapon or showed a weapon of any kind.
I would argue right now that Mike Johnson's most important task in the next, let's call it, up until Easter, the next 4 to 6 weeks, you got to get the rest of that January 6th footage released. Now, it might fall on deaf ears. The mainstream media might not cover it, or they'll put their slant on it, or maybe most people have arrived at their own conclusion as to what they saw on January 6th and interpret it however they would like to interpret it, either far left, far right, somewhere in between, a combination of both, the gray area, on and on and on. But there's still thousands of hours of footage that needs to be released. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I'm not going to sit here and lie to my audience and say I'm going to comb through all of it, but I'm certainly going to watch a little bit of it, and I want to see different angles. I want to see different areas of restricted areas. I want to see what people were doing. I'm tired of just seeing that nut job Chansley walking around with that headdress on, and you know what they show you in a 13-second clip on CNN.
And the Chewbacca bikini, as they call it, is that the one?
Strange,
one
dude.
Of them.
All right, let's go through the checklist here. And by the way, somebody asked how many times he said my predecessor. I read earlier this morning, 18 times.
Wow.
He referenced my predecessor last night, which I think is a first for any State of the Union speech.
Uh-huh.
So we started off with democracy, freedom,
yep.
Russia,
yep.
Ukraine,
yep.
Jan 6.
Yep.
What's next on the
bingo
on,
card?
On the bingo
the
card.
The Biden bingo card?
Yes.
I'll take abortion for 200, Alex.
You would be correct, Nick Kale.
Okay.
This is cut 10. Obviously, we said that they were going to make Kate Cox, the woman from Texas, who had to go to another state to get an abortion. She was going to be the linchpin. Mm-hmm. They were going to run on her issue. And she was at the State of the Union last night, and they did exactly that. This is 10, Phil, go.
My predecessor came to office determined to see Roe v. Wade overturned. He's the reason it was overturned, and he brags about it. Look at the chaos that has resulted. Joining us tonight is Kate Cox, a wife and mother from Dallas. She's become pregnant again and had a fetus of a fatal condition. Her doctor told Kate that her own life and her ability to have children in the future were at risk if she didn't act. Because Texas law banned her ability to act, Kate and her husband had to leave the state to get what she needed. What her family got through should have never happened as well, but it's happening to too many others. There are state laws banning the freedom to choose, criminalizing doctors, forcing survivors of rape and incest to leave their states to get the treatment they need. Many of you in this chamber and my predecessor are promising to pass a national ban on reproductive freedom.
There it was again.
My God, what freedom else would you take away? Look, it's a decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. The Supreme Court majority wrote the following, and with all due respect, justices, women are not without electoral power. Electoral or political power. You're about to realize just how much you were right about. Clearly.
I will say this about last night, too. If you guys don't think the Democrats are united, mm-hmm. you are sorely mistaken.
Oh, there's no doubt.
They are rallied behind Joe Biden like I've never seen before.
They put on the faces, the smiles. I mean, they look like, you know, an undefeated football team ready for battle.
Yeah. They know they're in trouble.
Yeah. I would say this. If it wasn't for the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and I've said this in the past couple of days, I think Trump would beat Biden this fall in a landslide. But that's not the case because of what happened with Roe v. Wade. And you knew they were going to start tugging at the heartstrings of going after women and getting in their feelings and the emotions. You saw that lady, Kate Cox from Texas, there with people to her left and right holding her hand. You could see kind of the emotion on their face. There's no doubt about it. It's an issue for Republicans, and it's going to continue to be until further notice, until anything changes. And I don't know that, because I've seen mixed reactions. And I only saw a few minutes of Katie Britt, the senator from Alabama. There was a few people that thought that she was really crushing it last night, but most people said
that
they missed the mark.
They need to stop with that because it never works out well for whoever does it. It just doesn't. Remember Marco Rubio with the water, and it's just it's
Sarah awkward. Huckabee did it one year, and she did a fantastic job.
What did you think of Britt, Dawn? I mean, this is in your wheelhouse as a female issue. Did she deliver a good rebuttal to this? Or
I think that if she were a Democrat. Let's just say that same delivery, that she would be a media darling. She would be on Vogue magazine with a designer outfit, and they would say, isn't she fabulous? And she's a woman, and she's young, and she's revolutionizing, dot, 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 dot. I think that she's never going to win in the media. Mm. But I think she's young. She's never done this before. So it was Republicans probably think, meh, she's fine. But did she do what? For example, Sarah Huckabee Sanders rocked it. I would have had her again. I really would have. I would have put Governor Huckabee Sanders in there again. She was fantastic.
The backdrop too. Like I'm going to play it right now. The backdrop too with her in the kitchen.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just
a lot of people were saying it came off too phony. Like she was like give her an Academy Award for that performance. I don't know.
But what does that mean? So she was what? She was too good. She wasn't like sucking out a water bottle. And so she's too good.
Let's.
They're going to make fun of her no matter what she did.
Right. Let's play a little bit of it, if we will, and then we comment on it. 16, Phil, go.
Meanwhile, the Chinese Communist Party is undercutting America's workers. China is buying up our farmland, spying on our military installations, and spreading propaganda through the likes of TikTok. You see, the CCP knows that if it conquers the minds of our next generation, it conquers America. And what does President Biden do? Well, he bans TikTok for government employees, but creates an account for his own campaign. Y'all, you can't make this stuff up. Look, we all recall when presidents faced national security threats with strength and resolve. That seems like ancient history. Right now, our commander-in-chief is not in command. The free world deserves better than a dithering and diminished leader.
Dithering.
America deserves leaders who recognize that secure borders.
There you go.
I'll be honest. I've never listened to her speak before.
It's a little affected.
That's it. If she needed a coach, I wish I could coach her.
Was she almost like ready to cry?
She's good at reading the. She's actually good at reading the prompter. I'll give her. You know what I mean? Yeah. She's fine at reading the prompter. Her delivery, but she's over the top as far as the affect. Just speak in a conversational way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The speech, if you look at the copy, the actual copy, it's very good. The speech itself, the words are fine. It's that Greg nailed it.
There's
too much affect. There's too much like soap opera-ish.
Yeah, like drama club stuff.
Yeah. Just leave that out. Just make it conversational.
Right. Organic is always the way to go.
By the way, Edward Sachs, let me just get his quote up here. He says, Stocker will be wrong. Layoffs will be the story of 2024, not abortion. Okay.
Layoffs?
I believe that. Okay.
What is he talking about? Job layoffs?
Yeah.
That's the story of 2024's election?
Well,
layoffs?
I think the economy is the story, and Bidenomics is the story, and migrants are the story.
Well, the border has surpassed the economy. The economy is now number two.
It will be immigration versus abortion. The end.
But immigration melds with the economy because we are experiencing this tough economy at the same time that we're paying for a minimum of 7.3 million people and a max of 15 million. Those are the numbers. So who pays for all of it?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, the border is meshed with the economy. That's one issue.
Yeah, that's fair. Layoffs.
All the states will put some sort of abortion measure and weed on the ballot, and that's going to get people out.
That's the plan, which is why Greg's exactly right. And so that's why we've been talking about why these the local elections matter, because if state legislatures, including here in Pennsylvania, if the Democrats rule that or can get it to the point, we've talked a lot about this, can get it to the point where they tie it, and then the lieutenant governor comes in and breaks the tie here in PA, then they can do exactly what Greg Stocker's talking about.
But, by the way, but,
putting things on the ballot.
So you said abortion, and what else is on the ballot?
The border, Greg.
No, Stocker said something. Abortion, and there was two things.
What you said, Greg.
Abortion and immigration.
Okay, I thought you said weed.
Oh, yeah. They're
on the ballot.
Yeah, they're going to put some sort of legalizing weed. You know what I mean?
You think that really matters to people at this point?
Yes. Oh, yeah, and it's proven.
And it's going to get people out. He's going to get people to come out and vote who don't normally vote.
Yes. Like,
hey, bro, like, they're going to legalize weed recreationally in our state. We should go vote.
I'm not a user of marijuana, but I swear everywhere I go, people are just... either vaping, I get on the Schuylkill, I can smell it from the car in front of me.
18-year-olds.
I see people walking around in retail establishments eating gummies.
Yep.
I look around, is that really a thing? I mean, I think people are just going to consume it regardless of whether it's legal.
I got to tell you something, and you know me when it comes to this stuff. I'm a live and let live person, but I took my son to the Willow Grove Mall a couple weeks ago, and we went into a toy store there. And the smell of pot was just like, I'm like, what is,
right?
What is, like, are people just smoking pot in,
that's what I'm saying,
in stores now?
I mean, maybe you are right, and you probably are on the voting issue of it, but I just feel like people, whether it's legal or illegal, people just consume it, and they're probably not going to get arrested or pulled over for it anyway.
Yeah.
Right?
Just to give you some headlines, pot vote may affect election turnout, talking about redrawing the electoral maps as well. It's all driven by marijuana, you know, legalizing weed and that sort of thing, whether it's recreational or medical. But all of this is definitely a strategy that the Democrats have their eye on.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done this before. It's a proven winner for them.
Last night at the speech, there was a lot of heckling going on last night, not just Marjorie Taylor Greene. There was a Gold Star father, who we'll get to in 1 second, who also heckled the president. But he got heckled. Somebody said, liar!
So I guess Mike Johnson's demands fell on deaf ears.
After saying that Trump failed at his duty to care, this is cut. What cut are we at here? I'm so lost. Cut 11, Phil, go.
American lives of loved ones, millions left behind. A mental health crisis of isolation and loneliness. A president, my predecessor, failed the most basic presidential duty that he owes to American people, the duty to care. I think that's unforgivable. I came to office determined to get us through one of the toughest periods in the nation's history. We have. It doesn't make news, but news in 1,000 cities and towns, the American people are writing the greatest comeback story never told.
You know, it's so ridiculous that any Democrat will sit here and talk about mental health, isolation, and loneliness of the pandemic. So, obviously, Trump, you know, it's March 2020. Trump's in his final 8 months in office. We don't really know what's going on with COVID. But all of the mental, in my opinion, and I don't really have any science or data to back it up. I'm just looking at the timeline of when COVID came around, when Biden took over in office, and where I lived during the pandemic. Red states had far more freedoms, far less restrictions placed on them. Thank God I wasn't living in Philadelphia from 2020 through 2022, because I wouldn't have been able to deal with some of these ridiculous measures that were placed that were, they really were draconian measures. I don't think it's a buzzword to use. So a majority of this, I think, is on Democrats with restricting your freedoms, to be honest.
No Lib writes, if this is true, meaning the abortion and weed issue, why is Trump ahead nationally by 6? Again, not a national election. We go state by state, and there's about 5 swing states that actually matter and that are actually up for grabs. So look at those. Don't look at national polling. And if you believe the polls, dude, great. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, this is 2022 all over again with this stuff. I'm just telling you.
Yes. I believe it, too.
And let me say this again. If the election was held today on March 8th Is that what day today is?
Yes, it is.
2024.
Yeah.
I do believe Donald Trump would win.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I'm just saying that it's going to be, the Democrats proved to me last night that they are prepared. They are rallying behind one another, and they're going to throw out every measure they possibly can to get people out in this election.
As of March 8th,
and if they do that, yeah. Trump will lose.
March 8th, 2024. If it was not for Roe v. Wade, I would say right now, if the election was today, Trump would win, and he would win in a landslide. But post Roe v. Wade, I do not think that is the case. And yes, you can look at all the polls you want, but remember, we saw it in 2022. The only place the red wave happened, really, was in Florida with Ron DeSantis. To me, in my opinion right now, if you had a gun to my head and said, Nick, how do you think the election is going to play out today? I still think Joe Biden's going to win, sad as that is, for a litany of reasons.
What?
Secret Squirrel on YouTube says, Katie Britt is the Greta Thunberg of the Republican Party.
Come
that
on.
Is hysterical. Secret Squirrel, you win. You win.
She's
YouTube
far
comments.
Better than Greta.
It's far better. Yeah, they, you know,
she's cute, too, by the way.
She is
cute.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's spunky. She's cute. Yeah, but think about this. Biden beat Trump by 24 points among voters under the age of 30
mm-hmm.
in 2020. I sent you guys my little research packet, but all the things just within the last month or so talking about, you know, PA legalizing weed, will it be on the ballot, and looking at Shapiro, looking at all of this,
mm-hmm.
and think about this. Look at the media already knows this, and the media is already pushing this because the media is always complicit.
Mm-hmm.
So that should tell us something. Democrats know this. They've got their plan in play, and Republicans always seem like they're behind the ball.
Well, they shouldn't be. They've been given the blueprint,
yep.
right? Legal ballot
Amen.
Harvesting, mail-in ballots, everything. You know what you have to do to beat Democrats. If you can rest your head on the pillow, and I'm not talking about specific voters. I'm talking about the Republican Party in general, the RNC. If you can rest your head on the pillow at the end of the night saying you did everything possible and learned your lesson and you still lost, well, then it's out of your control.
Let me say this, too. If you can't beat an 81-year-old Joe Biden...
I've been saying that for 2 years.
Meaning Republicans. In 2024, I don't know if you can ever win another election again.
If you can't beat this rendition of the Democratic Party that has been hijacked by the left-wing progressives with all of their failed policies, all their absurd crime policies, and everything else, you're never going to beat them again post-Roe v. Wade, in my opinion... Because I don't see them being more inept, being as bad of public speakers as they are.
Mm-hmm.
If the Democrats ditched all of the DEI identity politics and slid back more to the classic liberal or even further right to being a moderate Democrat, the GOP is dead as you know it.
Yeah.
Dead.
And I predict that if, God forbid, all of this plays out as, you know, we fear that it could... Then I believe there will be a purge, and it will be a deep purge within the GOP and the Republican Party. Leadership has been a disaster, number one. But number two, for the American people, think about what Joe Biden started his So Too speech with last night. He started with the New Deal, which is heavily criticized mm-hmm. as the beginning of, if you will, the redistribution of wealth. That was FDR.
You talked about FDR's New Deal, yep.
The New Deal was a disaster. It was never proven, although, you know, I know people will say, oh, yes, it was, and they needed it at the time. Not really. If you really study what they did as far as jobs and for union workers, really should look at this and think about it, because it was job crushing. It was small business person crushing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Joe Biden started out his speech with. That's what we should be paying attention to, mm-hmm. and that's to our sneaky squirrel. What's his head?
Secret squirrel.
Secret, I mean, not sneaky.
Yeah.
Secret squirrel. That's what he, I think, is playing to.
Yeah.
Think about the economy. Think about what this means. If Democrats win again, we are doomed.
Well, and like I said, if Democrats slide back to more common sense, you're certainly even in deeper trouble. But that doesn't mean that Republicans in the modern day rendition of the Republican Party under Trump needs to go back to the old guard of Bush, because we're rejecting that. Like, I mean, you talk about the concept of populism, where Trump is basically, and I believe Trump's a populist, which I kind of adhere to myself, because really the definition of populism is ordinary people. people who feel that their concerns have been completely disregarded, you know, by the established political elites. That's what we want. That's what we're so done with, I think. At least me personally. I'm tired of the lifelong swamp creature, the uniparty that only focuses on their interests. And I think, honestly, and we're never going to get another Trump again, but that doesn't mean that the Trump style can't work, because it resonates with so many people. And Dawn has said it. Trump didn't create the MAGA movement. He there was a demand for it, and he seized the opportunity.
Yes. I think that we will see, and we are seeing, a purge within the media. You know, let's look at those younger voters, and that's really at play here. Those younger voters are so done with all of this. But with regard to the swamp, that's really what is at the heart of this. And so we did see Mitch McConnell. He's leaving now, knowing that Trump is obviously going to be the nominee as early as next week, is the presumptive nominee. But can Trump win? And if he does, then the swamp, you know, the swamp creatures on both sides of the aisle, you see, that's the piece of it that nobody's talking about. The swamp creatures who exist within the GOP, they're resisting Trump, too. And that's what everybody has to wake up to.
Right.
Last night, too, there was a lot of heckling. But I think whoever wrote the speech, or the group of people that wrote the State of the Union speech last night, I think they put stuff in there knowing that it was going to get a reaction from Republicans. And Joe Biden almost goaded them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like that's
absolutely.
That's why this was a, when you said earlier, Dawn, that the Republicans, Marjorie Taylor Greene, kind of played right into his hands by doing this. It does seem that he was prepared for heckling because of all the incendiary things that he was saying. First, it started with $1 trillion tax cuts, and somebody said something, and he goes, "Oh, you guys don't want another $2 trillion tax cut? That's good to hear." This is cut 12, Phil, go.
The working people who built this country pay more into Social Security than millionaires and billionaires do. It's not fair. We have two ways to go. Republicans can cut Social Security and give more tax breaks to the wealthy. That's the proposal. Oh, no. You guys don't want another $2 trillion tax cut?
In his face.
I kind of thought that's what your plan was. Well, that's good to hear. You're not going to cut another $2 trillion for the super wealth. That's good to hear. I'll protect and strengthen Social Security and make the wealthy pay their fair share.
That was all planned.
Yep.
Yeah. No, you're
all
right.
Planned.
You got played.
Yep.
Good job.
Yep.
Good job, GOP ding-dings.
But think about,
played.
Think about the audacity of that guy to sit up there and talk about paying your fair share of taxes when his son's been cheating taxes for years. Like, seriously. Like, dude, you know, stay in your own house, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know. And then, by the way, did you know this? Over half of Americans pay zero in federal income tax. You realize that?
I got to say this, too. Like, I said this earlier. The Trump campaign should demand equal time, because that was a political campaign speech.
Yeah. That's the advantage of the incumbent.
I'm dead serious. He should say, hey, you know what? ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, whatever, you gave this guy 90 minutes. Give me 90 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Or let's just get on a debate stage and have at it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Marjorie Taylor Greene also took the bait, heckles Joe Biden, kind of bullies him into saying, I believe bullied him into saying the name of Laken Riley, and then he misspoke and mispronounced it, said the wrong name. Dawn thinks that this was all planned out. Mm-hmm. This is cut 13, Phil, go.
Railed this bill so far. I'm told my predecessor called members of Congress in the Senate to demand they block the bill. He feels political win. He viewed it as will be a political win for me and a political loser for him. It's not about him. It's not about me. I'd be a winner. Not really.
But you're right, Dawn, because he's right down there.
Yep.
And he has that.
Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right.
Oh, boy.
But how many of thousands of people being killed by illegals? To her parents, I say, my heart goes out to you, having lost children myself. I understand. But look, if we change the dynamic at the border, people pay these smugglers $8,000 to get across the border because they know if they get by and let into the country, it's 6 to 8 years before they have a hearing. And it's worth taking the chance of the $8,000. But if it's only 6 weeks, the idea is it's highly unlikely that people will pay that money and come all that way knowing that they'll be able to be kicked out quickly. Folks, I would respectfully suggest my Republican friends owe it to the American people, get this bill done. We need to act now.
For all of you who are unaware, Lincoln Riley is the head football coach at USC.
Oh my God.
So to me, and I know, Dawn, you have your observations on this as well, I just look at it from compounding mistakes. So
yeah.
You created this border crisis. You don't mention the name Lincoln Riley. And then when you finally address it, you butcher the name. And then you tick off your own party by using the word illegals to the point where Nancy Pelosi looks like she wants to cut his throat.
Yeah, we should be shocked and disappointed, although we're not shocked at the so-called mainstream media for not calling any of this out. And the fact that he is quoting FDR. Do you know what a disaster that is? And the fact that nobody knows their history, apparently. If you look at the New Deal programs, they were precedent setting for the federal government to play a key role in the economic and social affairs of our nation, crushing the middle class.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, even back in the day, FDR, when he said, he was, taxing the rich, they, of course, found tax shelters. Who did it hurt back then?
Mm-hmm.
It hurt the working class and middle class.
Of course.
The fact that we say, of course, like, Nick, we know this, and all of us know this, right?
Yep.
But the mainstream, look at the headlines, look around us. We're surrounded by a media that is ignoring history with a president who's been a disaster, who's quoting and proud about FDR and touting it. Oh, my goodness.
Think about the reallocation of wealth and the redistribution of it over the last 4 years.
Holy moly.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/@1210WPHD. If you're watching right now, we have a lot of new viewers. We have a lot of people listening on the Odyssey app. So please, if you're watching on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button if you have not done so. And also hit the like button on today's show. Hit the like button, the little thumbs up button there. And if you're listening on the Odyssey app, please, I implore you, on the 1210WPHD like page there on your phone, on the upper right hand corner, there's a little follow button. Please click that follow button. We're getting to where I want to be. I saw a number yesterday that I'm really happy with, and I really want to keep that up. So make sure you hit the follow button.
2 years of pandering paying off.
Speaking of immigration, by the way, Nick, you said earlier that how long did it take him to get to immigration?
I think 34 minutes.
Wow. 34 minutes into a speech, and I said earlier, the first 20 minutes is what you want to focus that speech on because that's really all the American people are sitting there for.
I think you're being generous with the 20 minutes because the attention spans of Americans is dwindling by the day.
I'm interested to see what the ratings are for last night's.
What did I say? 25 million?
I have it written somewhere.
30?
But yeah, because I think 27 million was the 2023 one. So.
And you were somewhere in between us.
Yeah. I'm moving on to cut 14 here. He talked about the immigration bill and, again, kind of goading them into heckling him, which was the theme of last night. Cut 14, Phil, go.
And so does this. In November, my team began serious negotiations with a bipartisan group of senators. The result was a bipartisan bill with the toughest set of border security reforms we've ever seen. Oh, you don't think so? Oh, you don't like that bill, huh? That conservatives got together and said it was a good bill? I'll be darned. That's amazing. That bipartisan bill would hire 1,500 more security agents and officers, 100 more immigration judges to help tackle the backload of 2 million cases, 4,300 more asylum officers, and new policies so they can resolve cases in 6 months instead of 6 years now. What are you against? 100 more high-tech drug detection machines to significantly increase the ability to screen and stop vehicles smuggling fentanyl into America. That's killing thousands of children. This bill would save lives and bring order to the border. It would also give me and any new president new emergency authority to temporarily shut down the border when the number of migrants at the border is overwhelming. The Border Patrol Union has endorsed this bill. The Federal Chamber of Commerce is... Yeah. You're saying, low. Look at the facts. I know you know how to read.
Look at Mike Johnson's face.
I'm telling you guys, he was uber prepared last night. Yep. He really was.
It's interesting. So we talk about that border bill. So you want to spend more and more money as we sit here, what, $34 trillion in debt. And of course, well, if you want some border security, you got to give me what I want with Ukraine. The reality is this. He created this mess with 94 reversals of the stroke of a pen. In 100 days, he undid 94 executive orders from Trump. All he has to do is just legitimately pull out the pen and reinsert those, and you don't even need to spend any additional funding. You don't have to have a give and take and a this and a that with Ukraine and Russia, but he doesn't want to do it. So, you know what? I don't blame him at this point. Sadly, I know that's harsh to say. You know, Lincoln Riley's dead and others will be killed, but why should Republicans bail Joe out now in April of an election year? Why?
A Gold Star father was removed from the State of the Union last night. He heckled the president and then got escorted out after Biden claims that America is safer today. I'll explain who this man is after I play this cut. This is cut 15. Phil, go.
To state the obvious, all Americans deserve the freedom to be safe. And America is safer today than when I took office. Year before I took office, murder rates went up 30%. 30% they went up. The biggest increase in history. It was then, through my American Rescue Plan, which every American voted against, I might add, we made the largest investment in public safety ever.
So that was Steve Nkuyu.
Okay.
Whose son, Kareem, was killed during Joe Biden's disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal. Steve was screaming, United States Marines and Abbey Gate.
Okay.
So that's, he's a Gold Star father whose son was killed in Afghanistan.
So he's claiming the United States of America is safer today than it was 3 or 4 years ago. That's fascinating. I don't recall the National Guard being deployed to New York City public transportation and transit and subways. I don't recall Dawn giving us the news where, you know, so many kids were shot in what was it, Dawn? 4 in 4 days for the week?
Yeah, 4 shootings in as many days.
And even if statistics show the opposite of what people feel, at the end of the day, it's just like the economy. If people aren't feeling it, then that's ultimately what matters, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I played this earlier, but before we go to break here, I want to play it again. Trump put this on his Instagram account last night. If you're watching right now on YouTube, you can see this. Go over to YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHT if you want to see that. He put a little Snapchat filters.
My daughters do this.
On the president and the vice president. So if you want to see this, youtube.com/at1210WPHT. One more time for the late tuners inners. You like that?
I do.
Late tuners inners.
Might hashtag that.
Late tuners inners. This is cut 18. Phil, go.
We're gonna buy America.
Look at Kamala's face. That's when Kamala's stoned. Some good read.
Buy America has been the law since 1933. Also cast. Kamala's only going into effect until 2025.
Kamala looks good in pigtails.
By the way, yeah. That law was written.
Pinocchio Joe.
And the benefit expires in 2025.
Some of those rings dropping.
New electric grids. They're able to weather major storms and not.
Now, what animal is that?
That looks like a
hyena,
or one of those yippy dogs.
Oh yeah, those little purse dogs.
Yeah, those little purse dogs.
Yeah, I've got no interest in those.
Abbey Gate is the terminology for what happened when the 13 service members in Afghanistan. Yeah, just for anybody who
Yeah, thank you for clarifying
that. Okay.
Abbey Gate.
I tell you what, that...
It was a fight. It was a very a lot happened. It was a State of the Union that had a lot of pee and vinegar.
Oh, gave us a lot of content.
It did.
Been talking about it for 2.5 hours. Thank you, Joe. 855-839-1210. That'll do it for round one of the Cut Sheet. We'll come back. Get to Dawn's Big Three at 8:44 ish, or the YouTube channel. Say, why don't you just wait till 9 o'clock?
Yeah.
Because as you know, folks, you're starting to learn. The Big Three, it floats. It bobs and weaves. And we're back after this on Kale and Company.
You know, for my family, we go to the Piazza Auto Group 100%. Customers, and you know I've talked about Piazza for years now, want to give a shout out and a warm welcome to some new members of the Piazza Auto Group family. Infinity Ardmore and Maserati of the Mainline, both located right there on Lancaster Avenue in the luxury collection of brands that continues to grow. You, of course, are going to receive the same first-class customer experience you've come to expect from the Piazza Auto Group and Piazza Premium Automobiles. So find your new or certified pre-owned Infinity, Maserati, or other Piazza luxury brands like Jaguar, Land Rover, Mercedes-Benz, BMW, some of the most beautiful, powerful vehicles on the roads right now. Just check them out. PiazzaPremiumAutos.com, PIAZZA, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.
And somebody said something, and he goes, oh, you guys don't want another $2 trillion tax cut? That's good to hear. This is Cut 12, Phil, go.
The working people who built this country pay more into Social Security than millionaires and billionaires do. It's not fair. We have two ways to go. Republicans can cut Social Security and give more tax breaks to the wealthy. That's the proposal. Oh, no. You guys don't want another $2 trillion tax cut?
In his face.
I kind of thought that's what your plan was. Well, that's good to hear. You're not going to cut another $2 trillion for the super wealth. That's good to hear. I'll protect and strengthen Social Security and make the wealthy pay their fair share.
That was all planned.
Yep.
Yeah. No, you're
all
right.
Planned.
You got played.
Yep.
Good job.
Yep.
Good job, GOP ding-dings.
But think about
Think
about the audacity of that guy to sit up there and talk about paying your fair share of taxes when his son's been cheating taxes for years. Like, seriously. Like, dude, you know, stay in your own house, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know. And then, oh, by the way, did you know this? Over half of Americans pay zero in federal income tax. You realize that?
I got to say this, too. Like, I said this earlier. The Trump campaign should demand equal time because that was a political campaign speech.
Yeah. That's the advantage of the incumbent.
I'm dead serious. He should say, hey, you know what? ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, whatever, you gave this guy 90 minutes, give me 90 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Or let's just get on a debate stage and have at it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Marjorie Taylor Greene also took the bait, heckles Joe Biden, and kind of bullies him into saying, I believe bullied him into saying the name of Laken Riley, and then he misspoke and mispronounced it, said the wrong name. Dawn thinks that this was all planned out. Mm-hmm. This is Cut 13, Phil, go.
Railed this bill so far. I'm told my predecessor called members of Congress in the Senate to demand they block the bill. He feels a political win. He viewed it as it'll be a political win for me and a political loser for him. It's not about him. It's not about me. I'd be a winner. Not really.
But you're right, Dawn, because he's right down there.
Yep.
And he has the...
Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right.
Oh, boy.
But how many of thousands of people being killed by illegals? To her parents, I say, my heart goes out to you, having lost children myself. I understand. But look, if we change the dynamic at the border, people pay these smugglers $8,000 to get across the border because they know if they get by... If they get by and let into the country, it's 6 to 8 years before they have a hearing. And it's worth taking the chance of the $8,000. But If it's only 6 weeks, the idea is it's highly unlikely that people will pay that money and come all that way knowing that they'll be able to be kicked out quickly. Folks, I would respectfully suggest my Republican friends owe it to the American people, get this bill done. We need to act now.
For all of you who are unaware, Lincoln Riley is the head football coach at USC.
Oh my God.
So to me, and I know, Dawn, you have your observations on this as well, I just look at it from compounding mistakes. So
yeah.
You created this border crisis. You don't mention the name Lincoln Riley. And then when you finally address it, you butcher the name. And then you tick off your own party by using the word illegals to the point where Nancy Pelosi looks like she wants to cut his throat.
Yeah, we should be shocked and disappointed, although we're not shocked at the so-called mainstream media for not calling any of this out. And the fact that he is quoting FDR. Do you know what a disaster that is? And the fact that nobody knows their history, apparently. If you look at the New Deal programs, they were precedent setting for the federal government to play a key role in the economic and social affairs of our nation, crushing the middle class.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, even back in the day, FDR, when he said, oh, he was, you know, taxing the rich, they, of course, found tax shelters. Who did it hurt back then?
Mm-hmm.
It hurt the working class and middle class.
Of course.
The fact that nobody, I mean, we say, of course, like, Nick, we know this, and all of us know this, right?
Yep.
But the mainstream, look at the headlines, look around us. We're surrounded by a media that is ignoring history with a president who's been a disaster, who's quoting and proud about FDR and touting it. Oh, my goodness.
Think about the reallocation of wealth and the redistribution of it over the last 4 years.
Holy moly.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/@1210WPHD. If you're watching right now, we have a lot of new viewers. We have a lot of people listening on the Odyssey app. So please, if you're watching on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button if you have not done so. And also hit the like button on today's show. Hit the like button, the little thumbs up button there. And if you're listening on the Odyssey app, please, I implore you, on the 1210WPHD like page there on your phone, on the upper right-hand corner, there's a little follow button. Please click that follow button. We're getting to where I want to be. I saw a number yesterday that I'm really happy with, and I really want to keep that up. So make sure you hit the follow button.
2 years of pandering paying off.
Speaking of immigration, by the way, Nick, you said earlier that how long did it take him to get to immigration?
I think 34 minutes.
Wow. 34 minutes into a speech, and I said earlier, the first 20 minutes is what you want to focus that speech on, because that's really all the American people are sitting there for.
I think you're being generous with the 20 minutes, because the attention spans of Americans is dwindling by the day.
I'm interested to see what the ratings are for last night's.
What did I say? 25 million?
I have it written somewhere.
30?
But yeah, because I think 27 million was the 2023 one. So.
And you were somewhere in between us.
Yeah. I'm moving on to cut 14 here. He talked about the immigration bill and, again, kind of goading them into heckling him, which was the theme of last night. Cut 14, Phil, go.
And so does this. In November, my team began serious negotiations with a bipartisan group of senators. The result was a bipartisan bill with the toughest set of border security reforms we've ever seen. Oh, you don't think so? Oh, you don't like that bill, huh? That conservatives got together and said it was a good bill? I'll be darned. That's amazing. That bipartisan bill would hire 1,500 more security agents and officers, 100 more immigration judges to help tackle the backload of 2 million cases, 4,300 more asylum officers, and new policies so they can resolve cases in 6 months instead of 6 years now. What are you against? $100 more high-tech drug detection machines to significantly increase the ability to screen and stop vehicles smuggling fentanyl into America. That's killing thousands of children. This bill would save lives. I'm bringing order to the border. It would also give me and any new president new emergency authority to temporarily shut down the border when the number of migrants at the border is overwhelming. The Border Patrol Union has endorsed this bill. The Federal Chamber of Commerce is... Yeah. You're saying low. Look at the facts. I know you know how to read.
Look at Mike Johnson's face.
I'm telling you guys, he was uber prepared last night. Yep. He really was.
It's interesting. So we talk about that border bill. So you want to spend more and more money as we sit here, what, $34 trillion in debt. And of course, well, if you want some border security, you got to give me what I want with Ukraine. The reality is this. He created this mess with 94 reversals of the stroke of a pen. In 100 days, he undid 94 executive orders from Trump. All he has to do is just legitimately pull out the pen and reinsert those, and you don't even need to spend any additional funding. You don't have to have a give and take and a this and a that with Ukraine and Russia, but he doesn't want to do it. So, you know what? I don't blame him at this point. Sadly, I know that's harsh to say. You know, Lincoln Riley's dead and others will be killed, but why should Republicans bail Joe out now in April of an election year? Why?
A Gold Star father was removed from the State of the Union last night. He heckled the president and then got escorted out after Biden claims that America is safer today. I'll explain who this man is after I play this cut. This is cut 15. Phil, go.
To state the obvious, all Americans deserve the freedom to be safe. And America is safer today than when I took office. Year before I took office, murder rates went up 30%. 30% they went up. The biggest increase in history. It was then, through my American Rescue Plan, which every American voted against, I might add, we made the largest investment in public safety ever.
So that was Steve Nkuyu.
Okay.
Whose son, Kareem, was killed during Joe Biden's disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal. Steve was screaming, United States Marines and Abbey Gate.
Okay.
So that's, he's a Gold Star father whose son was killed in Afghanistan.
So he's claiming the United States of America is safer today than it was 3 or 4 years ago. That's fascinating. I don't recall the National Guard being deployed to New York City public transportation and transit and subways. I don't recall Dawn giving us the news where, you know, so many kids were shot in what was it, Dawn? 4 in 4 days for the week?
Yeah, 4 shootings in as many days.
And even if statistics show the opposite of what people feel, at the end of the day, it's just like the economy. If people aren't feeling it, then that's ultimately what matters, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I played this earlier, but before we go to break here, I want to play it again. Trump put this on his Instagram account last night. If you're watching right now on YouTube, you can see this. Go over to YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHT if you want to see that. He put a little Snapchat filters.
My daughters do this.
On the president and the vice president. So if you want to see this, youtube.com/at1210WPHT. One more time for the late tuners inners. You like that?
I do.
Late tuners inners.
Might hashtag that.
Late tuners inners. This is cut 18. Phil, go.
We're gonna buy America.
Look at Kamala's face. That's America. When Kamala's stoned. That's some good read.
Buy America has been the law since 1933. Also, cash Kamala's is going to go into effect on the 2025.
Kamala looks good in pigtails.
By the way, yeah. That law was written.
Pinocchio Joe.
And the benefit expires in 2025.
Some of those rings dropping.
New electric grids. They're able to weather major storms and not.
Now, what animal is that?
That looks like a
hyena,
or one of those yippy dogs.
Oh yeah, those little purse dogs.
Yeah, those little purse dogs.
Yeah, I've got no interest in those.
Abbey Gate is the terminology for what happened when the 13 service members in Afghanistan. Yeah, just for anybody who.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying that.
Okay,
Abbey Gate.
I tell you what, that
It was a very a lot happened. It was a State of the Union that had a lot of pee and vinegar.
Oh, gave us a lot of content.
It did.
Been talking about it for 2.5 hours. Thank you, Joe. 855-839-1210. That'll do it for round one of the Cut Sheet. We'll come back. Get to Dawn's Big Three at 8:44-ish. Or the YouTube channel say, why don't you just wait till 9 o'clock?
Yeah.
Because as you know, folks, you're starting to learn. The Big Three, it floats. It bobs and weaves. And we're back after this on Kale and Company.
You know, for my family, we go to the Piazza Auto Group 100%. Customers, and you know I've talked about Piazza for years now, want to give a shout out and a warm welcome to some new members of the Piazza Auto Group family. Infinity Ardmore and Maserati of the Mainline, both located right there on Lancaster Avenue in the luxury collection of brands that continues to grow. You, of course, are going to receive the same first-class customer experience you've come to expect from the Piazza Auto Group and Piazza Premium Automobiles. So find your new or certified pre-owned Infiniti, Maserati, or other Piazza luxury brands like Jaguar, Land Rover, Mercedes-Benz, BMW, some of the most beautiful, powerful vehicles on the roads right now. Just check them out. PiazzaPremiumAutos.com, PIAZZA, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.